Won't you rain on me tonight? Oh, life. Oh, life. Please don't pass me by. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop when the red lights flash. Won't you take me close to
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have returned. Yes, indeed. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe Show. Hey, man. Hey, miss. Hey, you. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're listening to, listen to us. My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, sir, miss, madam, whoever you are, I am a podcaster. And across from me, still in her enclosed cage, is the best person I've ever met my whole entire life. The super creative, ultimately talented, Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
I'm doing great.
Great.
And in the studio, we hear her laughing. We have Bullet Stringer.
Woo-hoo! What's up? What's up, airwaves?
What's what? Shockwaves to the airwaves.
Podcast waves.
And she has been on the show before, but I think it's been around a year or so, right?
Oh, it's probably, I don't even know. I think I haven't even been in the D.C. area in like 2 years. So.
Okay. It's been a while.
About, so yeah, maybe just shy of 2 years. Yeah. And so it's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's been forever.
It feels like it, kind of.
The best way, always the best way is just to say, oh, it's been forever, I guess.
Yeah. So you kind of like live a nomad life. So like you're in Chicago. I don't even know where you, I know you spent some time in California. I don't even know where you are right now. Are you in this room? Like,
kind of. Or is it a ghost? What is that show, that song we listened to earlier?
You're just like everywhere.
Am I, what is it, Joe? Am I alive or are you a ghost or what?
You're talking about the Monday Mistress song? You had the preview of the album.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you got that exclusive preview for the Monday Mistress.
It's crazy.
Doesn't know what it's going to be titled yet, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Am I alive or are you a ghost?
Oh, okay.
Or are you just a ghost?
Or are you just a ghost? Maybe I'm just a ghost.
So, but where are you hanging these days?
So I'm back in the D.C. area for the summer.
Okay.
So I'll be here for a minute. But I'm still technically based out of Chicago.
Okay.
And over the past couple years, I was in Chicago a lot, but then I was also traveling away from Chicago a lot. I was in Northern California a lot. I traveled in the Southeast region a lot. And just doing my gonzo thing, a lot of that, you know.
That gonzo thing sounds so strange.
Still do my art and music stuff, but sometimes I go into little pockets of time where I go deep into a story in the only way. I did that a lot
like
in Chicago
Vice.
Also.
Like Vice.
So, better than Vice. I've got my opinions about Vice, but yeah,
we can
like
dive
deep,
into that
deep
later.
Into Chicago, like, you know, it's pretty violent there. And I kind of just went in to try to figure out what it is that's going on. It's a very sensitive thing to me. And I think also to our nation as a whole, you know, it links to the stuff when I, you know, was tracking what was happening in Baltimore. And then since then, a lot of other things have happened, all the police shootings and whatever. But
yeah, I always feel like Chicago politically always seems pretty corrupt.
Yeah, like some people like to joke that it's not just a windy city because it's next to the lake, but it's a windy city because of the politics.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like that city is like police are, it's a very segregated city, like, which is very uncomfortable for me. You know, it's like you grow up in the DC area and it's kind of this Happy Valley bubble land, you know, where you're just like, oh, well, the demographics here are just perfect. Every job has a black person, a brown person, an Asian person. You know,
it's like everybody is,
you know,
all inclusive.
A couple
here.
Women, a couple women of color. Like everything is like, you know, it's all demographically attuned, but Chicago is it's not that way. It's very black and white.
We'll get into that a little bit more after this one segment. You know the segment, Lauren.
Yeah,
Carolyn's news.
And you got new beats here. I like
my
it.
News music. Right on.
So what's the news? Tell us.
So the news, we have two upcoming tour dates that I can announce for April.
Ooh.
We are going to be in New York for Mocha Arts Festival on April 1st and 2nd. The hours for those days are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on both days. And the location is Metropolitan West. And that is West 46th Street between 11th and 12th Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited about
11th Avenue, 46th Street?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's the upper west. A little bit, almost upper.
It's kind of like north of
Midtown.
Javits, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, you know, I'm familiar with the Javits area, so I just got to go a little bit
north,
and then
below Columbus Circle, but
I'm
above
that Mocha Arts
above
Festival,
Midtown. Yeah, cool.
And so I've never been before. I've never even like applied before, and this year I was like, why not try it out?
So this is Curls will be there.
Yeah, Curls cool. will be there.
Awesome.
So it's a weekend show. So come on out April 1st and 2nd, and also it's only $5 to get in. So if you live in the New York area. It seems like a pretty fun thing to do.
Rock and roll. $5. That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're also going to have food there. They're going to have a whole bunch of other, panels and programming just around the corner at a hotel around the corner. So it's all located in one central area. And there's two floors of exhibitors. So I think we're on the second floor. And all the details, if you want to check it out, if you go to curls-studio.com/curls, I think we have the table number up and the map that you can see all the exhibitors at. So
yeah
I'm excited. I've never, like, it's good to do like a fresh show that
scavenger
I haven't done before.
Hunt New York peoples, go and find Carolyn at the Mocha
Come
Arts
and
Festival.
Find me in a few weeks. It'll be like Waldo.
Yeah.
And then also later on in April, we are going to be, this is a fresh announcement, we're going to be at KidsCon at Phantom Comics in Washington, D.C. It's a comic book store in D.C. This is Saturday, April 8th from noon to 4 p.m. And the address is 2010 P Street, Northwest, D.C.
Woo-woo.
And that's exciting because, like, you know, it's only a 4-hour show. So it's noon to 4 again on Saturday, April 8th. And, you know, a lot of the young kids, like, they might not have been to like a big Comic-Con. And it's kind of overwhelming to take a really young kid to the Comic-Con. So I feel like this is a very manageable event if you want to try to get.
What's the name of this one again?
It's called KidsCon.
KidsCon. Oh, cool.
Yeah, at Phantom Comics.
Very cool.
So it seems like a good event to take the youngsters to, especially like, you know, like I said, some of those crazy Comic-Cons get really hectic and there's a lot of crowds and stuff. So if
and
you
a
have,
lot of racy costumes.
Yeah. So if you have like a younger child, especially maybe like 6 or 7 and below, you know, I think this would be a good event to take them as their first little mini Comic-Con, and it's directly for them. And a lot of the exhibitors are focused on entertaining the kids, and we have a lot of kids books, so definitely come by and check it out. And those are the tour dates for now that I'm gonna announce. We have like a whole bunch up on if you check carolynbilewski.com/tour, we have a whole bunch that are popping up here and there, but these are like the main ones right now that I want to focus on. April, you know, like, let's just get through the next month and then we'll move on from there. But we do have a lot of fun stuff coming up throughout 2017.
That's right. And also this Friday, today's March? March 24th, Monday Mistress is definitely going to be playing at Epicure Cafe in Fairfax, Old Town Fairfax. I think the doors open at 7, maybe we go on around 8:30, you know how these things go. But definitely go out to see us, mondaymistress.com. Get a little sample of our new album that's coming out, maybe in April.
Yeah, I heard maybe Snarky Studios is going to roll through and take some photos.
Yeah. I hear that too. And you know, wherever Snarky Studios is taking photos, that means it's a good event to be at. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's right.
And
this
you can
Friday.
Have a scavenger hunt and find Snarky Studios there.
Yeah.
Come and find us, guys.
Yeah, come and find us.
See, that's the cool thing about our podcast and just us in general is that we're actually very approachable. Like we don't hide in our basement necessarily. You know, like we might record in the basement, but we don't hide in the basement.
So Lauren, if you haven't been on for a while, And since last you've been on here, we, or at least maybe since 2017 started, we started this thing where people would send in basically a question, a universal question for the Carolyn and Joe show to answer, which is thus why in the social medias we're like, you have a question for a bullet stringer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So definitely, we always start each episode with answering a question, and then it will go on for whoever. We're going to answer the hell out of that question.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want to do this, but someone did send a – you can proofread it if you want to answer this question that someone sent in. Should we answer that question?
Is it personal? Getting too personal.
Should we answer that? Because it's a question we can't answer.
I don't know. Just go ahead and ask it to me.
Okay, so should we'll I say see. The name? I'll just say it.
No,
just,
I don't know.
I mean, it's already online.
Okay, is it a public question? I don't know.
Yeah, it was tweeted to me.
Unless they told you don't say it it anonymously.
I mean, they didn't say that. They tweeted to me, so it's already out there.
Okay. Right. What's the tweet?
Right?
Yeah.
This is not a DM.
I was going to say if someone DM'd you and said like,
This is out in the public. But do you know this person?
I do know that person.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so this question comes from the Twitter. The Twitter. Comes from a Flex Matthews, and I'll just word for word. I'll say exactly.
It's one of my most favorite.
It wasn't even answered to me. It was answered to me to answer to ask to you. So I appreciate that too. I appreciate that, Flex Matthews, friend of Eric Matthews. basically, he says a stray J colon or yeah, whatever the two dots is.
Colon.
a stray J. So a straight J, bullet stringer, what is your favorite kind of milk? ? And please say it slowly. # Flex says, or says Flex. So everyone go follow that hashtag, I guess.
Are you ready says for this? Flex.
So basically, I guess he's getting down to what is your
favorite almond. Was that good, Flex? Almond milk.
Wait, say it one more time.
Slower.
Slower.
He wants it slow.
Almond
milk.
Do you affect it? Oh, milk. Do I gotta say the whole thing?
I guess. Right.
Almond milk.
One more time.
Almond milk.
Body's.
Oh, I like that. I like that effect. That was a good one.
So why is this almond milk? Because I
don't know.
Recently, that's a health thing that like you can't have dairy. Like,
yeah,
like
I've all had these a Asians lot of health have, stuff for like years these, and years
like
now.
All these Asians, they can't have milk.
It's like I'm so sick of talking about my health, but it's like my health is finally. I think the last time I saw you guys, my health was about 50% better.
Did you even
now
like
I'm
milk?
Now I'm about
though?
Like 85% better.
Did you really believe in milk?
I mean, as a
milk?
Kid, I was definitely like I would drink like a glass of milk every night with dinner.
Dude, really? All of us were like that back then.
Yeah, but my sisters weren't necessarily. Like, I was the milk drinker in our family, but...
You're the milk drinker in the
family?
Yeah,
like, I would... Like, I liked milk, and even, you know, I've heard some people say that it's, you know, like, a diet trick for models and stuff is drink a glass of milk. It will fill you up, and it's only, like, 100 calories, you know, so... But then I hear other perspectives, like I know definitely an African perspective is you're not supposed to have milk or eggs after like you pass like 7 or 8, you know, and some people believe that you're supposed to stop drinking milk at like 15. But either way, it was like all the health stuff I went through, ultimately my immune system was so depleted that I became allergic to everything. And I think I also had some underlying allergies from before. So basically my body recognizes so many things as foreign to my body now. So like things like jalapenos and pears and dust, a lot of dust is really bad. And
is milk something
even tobacco smoke? Like I can't be in a room with people smoking a cigarette or it makes me really sick.
Are you actually gonna miss milk though? Is that something that you're like milk?
No, well the thing is it's not so much the thing that because I don't drink a glass of milk. I don't even really eat cereal that often, but milk is in everything. Like, if you look at the ingredients and stuff, it's in everything. Like, you go eat a can of Progresso soup, and it has, like, milk in there. Even if it looks like a tomato-based soup, there's milk in there. Certain bread has milk and eggs in it.
What? Bread has milk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's certain breads that don't have it, but... So that's where it... it became this like where it's like, what is wrong with me? And like,
I remember we were joking about like, oh, maybe you should just go vegan.
Yeah, and it's like, and I joke with people, it's like I'm vegan with a side of steak. And I don't eat a lot of meat. Like I wasn't raised eating a lot of meat either, but you know, I don't eat meat when I get really hot, like when it's hot out, because it's like, you know, digesting meat makes you hot, you know.
It also makes your body work a lot harder too.
But I haven't, you know, I just balance, you know, like today I ate vegetarian, but it's not like I'm not like, oh my god, I'm a vegetarian and I have to eat like.
It's like a trendy vegetarian.
You know, like what was that? I had a pad eggplant, so like spicy eggplant at a Thai place. And
that's pretty much what it was, just sauteed vegetables.
Yeah,
and there's that awesome sauce.
Yeah, it was delicious. And there's mushrooms in there, so you get protein, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
So what makes you like the almond milk? Just because it's
Well, I like almond milk. I've always liked like it in smoothies and stuff like that. Sometimes I make smoothies with no extra thing. Like, you know, some people make like yogurt smoothies. I can't have that at all, but it's like... you know, sometimes if you put like almond milk and some like a banana and some blueberries or whatever, like, oh my gosh, it's just delicious. Like it's a thickening agent is, and that's why they use it in soup and all that stuff too. It's just a thickening agent, but
I mean,
yeah, no thank you.
I have also switched like in the past, what, maybe 4 years, I've switched to almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was hearing all this research about milk, and they were like, it's basically cow hormones and water. Because I used to drink skim milk.
Yeah.
Just because I actually grew up on skim milk.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm starting to research it, and I'm like, they're kind of right. It's like, I don't, like, after a certain childhood age, you don't really need as much milk. I mean, as a woman, you need more calcium, but like.
But you can get calcium from
in other ways. Or broccoli.
Yeah, broccoli. Yeah, it's exactly broccoli. You know, I know some people say cheese, but it's like, yeah, like you don't need to eat all that stuff to get those nutrients. Yeah.
But just dairy is kind of hard these days. And so, like, yeah, I actually appreciate the taste of almond milk. Like, I think it tastes great.
Yeah.
And I get the regular type. I don't even necessarily get the one that's vanilla or like the.
Right. Yeah.
The
me
dessert
too.
Ones,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 Because it has more sugar and stuff in
but
it.
Have you tried? There's also like cashew milk.
Yeah. I have tried the cashew milk. Because I am a little weary of like soy milks because they're, it's a little too. Like soy almost has that same inflaming agent as dairy, you know, which I think, you know, some things I did a lot of things in Northern California, but one of them was different things like with the brain and stuff like that and mental health there and whatever. But a lot of people who are suffering from anything that goes on in your head, anything you would go see a psychologist or psychiatrist about, if you just eliminate any inflammatory things from your body, people have such a higher response rate to everything. Like, you know, you think you're suffering from depression or something, remove soy and dairy and everything from your diet and eggs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people say that they're having like such huge success, like they can go off their meds and stuff like that. And I'm just like... To me, that's like a, I don't know, it's like not that I haven't suffered from that kind of thing, but just to watch someone go through that and to know that all you have to do is change your diet, like.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing, yeah. Just like, well, there's no soy sauce, use Worcestershire instead, you know, it's like.
There's some crazy stuff going on now, and I don't know the full latest about the milk industry, but the milk industry is kind of, I guess, pissed off at this almond milk because they were like, you can't call it milk. It didn't come from cows.
Right. Oh, okay. So but now, you use it the way we use milk. Kinda.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that in
but at
coffee,
one point but. In grocery stores, the I guess, Almond Breeze or whatever mm-hmm. wasn't located near the milk. It was in another section.
Oh, interesting.
And so now that they've moved it all together, like, I guess.
So where did they move it to?
Previously?
Well, I don't
know. Or like in my grocery stores, I always see it like right next to the milk.
Yeah, that's me too. Okay. I didn't know if you were saying it had moved. Okay.
Well, like I guess previously it was in a different location in the grocery store. I don't know where that was, but.
Well, some like almond and rice milks don't have to be refrigerated until you open it.
Mm.
So they used like, I know, because my stepdad drank that a lot, and it's like rice milk is always just on the dry shelf with like the health food goods stuff like that. But I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, but ours is always refrigerated milk, right next to the milk. Yeah, and then I guess the milk industry, it's kind of causing a dent in the... Because I feel like people are kind of discovering these things about dairy now. And so they're like, we don't really need to drink this.
Yeah, you don't, though. Yeah.
Yeah, so like... I guess their sales are hurting, so they're, like, trying to combat.
I wonder if that's why milk has gone up in cost. It's funny, I used to use that as an example explaining Gonzo stuff as, like, years ago, just talking about, like, you know, putting ideas out there, discussing ideas that are on a low-laying thing where it's, like, what would happen all of a sudden if something as standard as milk all of a sudden skyrocketed in price? How does that affect the economy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are kind of, like, experiencing that now. But it didn't, like, jump to, like, $10 a gallon or anything like
that.
Yeah. But
I have no desire to, like, really try real milk anymore. I don't know why it just kind of.
I've never,
like,
been really a fan of milk in general. It doesn't have the best taste to me.
Yeah.
That's why they have to put chocolate in it, and then I'm not really a fan of chocolate, so that doesn't really.
Funny because all the males that I know are, like, really weird with milk. They're always like, oh, they're not into it.
Yeah.
But, like, my mom and I were always, like, really into milk, and then, like, the males that I know, they only use it for cereal, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I would drink milk that would, like, quench my thirst, kind of.
I used to drink so much of it.
But then all of a sudden I just, like, kind of stopped drinking milk. And it was just kind of like a dip your Oreos in milk, like, novelty kind of thing, or a cereal kind of thing.
That's literally all I do. I just dip cookies in milk.
But then in all my traveling and, like, subletting and, like, you know, when you're just living this single life and I work on projects here and there and, like, you know... Sometimes I buy veggies and they go bad because I can't eat them. Like, you're expecting to eat at your house every night, but then you stay late to work on a project and a production feeds you, or, like, you know, whatever it is. And it's like you just end up not eating your food at your house.
Home.
So, like, milk is the same. It will just go bad, you know? But
I actually have another theory about milk, too, because, like, we're both, like, I mean, you're bigger than me, but we're kind of, like, I guess, well-endowed proportion-wise, like, with our boobies, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, but part of me is, like...
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, like, I'm not, like, super huge or anything, but, like, I definitely have them. They're not, like, small.
Yeah,
you know?
They're
and,
not
like,
as
you're
big
not,
as Lauren's.
You're not flat-chested.
They're not as big as Lauren's, but... I'm happy with them.
Mine are not as big as Lauren's either.
Oh, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
But what I'm saying is, like, so I was always, like, literally drinking a ton of milk in, like, elementary school and high school. Like, I would just drink it with everything.
Yeah.
And, like, part of me is like, is that a hormone thing? Is that why, like, certain people's boobs are
That's
bigger?
Why I wonder why, like, some of these 12-year-olds are, like, huge.
You
and
see,
have,
like,
are they?
You
but
see
I think it's
bigger?
Young
chicken.
Girls. I think it's the chickens. It's when people are eating chicken.
It could be that, too.
What?
That was the other theory I had.
I didn't know about
this. No, because,
this.
Like,
Tell
the,
me more.
The chickens that are injected and the plus the milk with the hormones and all that.
Yeah.
Like,
just giving
I don't know. My mom's got big old titties, too, so I think it comes from there. I don't know.
But then, like I'm saying, that you, like, it's good that you brought the 12-year-old, though, because, like, I see, like, these young girls that, like, they're developing really quick.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are young girls getting
so.
Bigger titties and ass now?
Yeah, well, I mean, some girls, you do wonder, like, they're, they've grown, like, you're just, like, you're 12? Like, you look like you're 17.
Yeah.
Just not necessarily because of their height, but because of their size
and
of their chest,
endowment.
You know? Or even, like,
endowment
teaching
for the art,
yeah,
teaching swim lessons and having a young girl tell you, like, they need to go use the restroom because it's that time of the month. And you're like, wait, what? Aren't you in my little swimmers class? Like,
yeah.
You're like, you can't even swim all the way across the pool yet. Like,
aww.
You're already battling this, you know?
It's too
crazy.
Young.
Yeah, it is too young. It's weird. When I was a kid, I would always kind of, like, my grandma had told me something like, well, what? Because I was like, what is that? You know, what is your period? You know, and she was like, well, it's when you're an adult. That means you're an adult. And then my translation of adult was like, oh, I can do whatever I want when I'm an adult. So I was kind of like, I hope this happens, you know? And then it's like the older I get, then I was like, oh, okay. I'm glad that didn't happen to me till, like, a normal time.
Yeah,
you know?
I had mine in middle school, but I did know of one person that had it in fourth grade.
Yeah, I knew a couple people,
and I was like, "Oh my god, that's
in fourth
way
grade."
Too young.
Yeah,
and also, you know,
but not even till I was older, it was like a younger kid that had it in fourth
and
grade.
You know what? So it's crazy about it. You know, when you're instructed to say, like, "Oh, that's what happens when you're an adult."
Yeah.
Well, even worse, like, biologically. It means you can have a child.
Right. That's like, what's crazy.
So basically a fourth grader.
You haven't even had sex ed by then. I mean, I did because the public school I went to in at that point in time, we had had conversations about that. I remember specifically actually fourth grade because we were in a trailer and we had this whole conversation about it. But I just remember being like, that's weird. My teacher was like, it's something to celebrate. Like, my mom took me to go get a sundae, And I was like, what? I was like terrified to tell my mom. Like, I just couldn't. But that's me and my mom. I could never talk to her about that kind of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's weird. Sorry, guys. Sorry, we're talking about all these things.
From almond milk to
periods. We'll move on. Yeah,
just move through all the liquids. Just go through all the flavored liquids.
Hey, I like this because I feel like people need to know about this
me
stuff.
Too. That's
and
me too.
And you know what else is crazy? Because, like, we had sex ed, like, what was the last time? Like, middle school, I guess, 7th mm-hmm. or 8th grade. And then, like, you know, you grow up and you become an adult. And, like, when I was in some, I don't know about you, but, like, mm-hmm. I didn't really take like sex ed very seriously. Like, I paid attention and stuff, but like every time they're just like, oh, penis, and you know, like, and it's just like, you know, you're not mature enough to handle like even talking about it, you know. And so I feel like they should have sex ed for adults, because like I'm like, dude, can we recap that? Because I actually want to know, like, and I won't laugh at it, you know, like, I want to be taken seriously and just like know how the human body works. Like,
yeah, well, at VCU I took a really great class that was all about sex and everything, and our the very first class of a lecture room was this giant icebreaker, and you and the people around you and the seats around you had to come up with like every slang terminology for male and female body parts mm-hmm. that you could think of. And people went and wrote them up on the board and we shouted them out.
That's
and all this
fun.
Stuff.
It just gets it out of the way.
It does. It totally got it out of the way. And she told us, like, this is an icebreaker. That's why we're doing this. And then it was like, because then the whole rest of the class, we talked about, you know, kind of the history of sex and all the different perceptions of sex throughout the years, and then everything from, you know, even into like S&M and like all, just every topic of sex. It was a really cool class.
What was the name of this course?
What was it called?
Intercourse.
Human sexuality.
They should just call it intercourse.
Human sexuality. Yeah.
Intercourse,
and they did, there were, because there have been many studies on sex where they like video people, allow them and their partner to be videotaped for scientific research mm-hmm. purposes, where they like have them try a technique or, you know, or just to, you know, here, go make love and we're going to observe you, you know, or whatever. But, or people who just talk about it, like with a, I don't know if it's like necessarily a sex therapist or whatever, but they will like talk about it and like different ways of like, you know, maybe this goes way off, but this is the Carolyn and Joe show.
Yeah.
But like different, like,
there's no topic
female
untouched.
And male like masturbation techniques and like all this stuff, like a woman who could masturbate by like breathing in and out really heavily and stuff like, and we watched a video.
Wow, amazing.
It was kind of crazy. It was
that's
really
a talent.
Crazy. Yeah. It was, I was like, I just remember being like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And it's like this lady, she's just like naked, standing there, breathing funny, like making herself orgasm. And I was like, yo, that is weird.
That's an so amazing weird. Superpower. That's a great superpower to have.
Yeah, that is kind of a superpower. Yeah.
How many lives is she saving? You know what I mean?
Oh, she's probably just saving herself a whole bunch of heartache.
Exactly. Yeah, she's calming herself.
Yeah.
So do you think we've answered the almond question? Because I have.
I think so. How do you like that answer, Flex?
Milk.
What did you think of that?
I guess you should say it one more time, Lauren. I'll put your effect
this
on.
This one's just for you, Flex. Almond milk. Mmm.
Wait, let me put up this music
it's
again.
The real hip-hop. Almond milk. That's going to be the title of my first record of my next life.
Say it again.
Almond milk. I can't even say it seriously anymore.
Twinkles.
Yeah, I like the twinkles in the background.
It's very heavenly.
Cashew milk. Almond milk. Almond butter.
Ha 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 ha. Carolina Joe like, show, that's like what it is.
I went out of this world for that.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I felt like I was actually in the dream space.
Yeah.
It's amazing what sounds can happen. I'm such an auditory person. Sounds can really change my whole.
Yeah.
So, Carolyn, you have another question?
I have a two-part question.
Okay.
Sure. And it actually works out really conveniently because I was given this question to ask you.
Oh, sure.
And then I was like,
it was handed to you? Like a secret note?
Yeah. A secret note.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, this actually works out really awesomely because I know she just saw this film.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this is obviously, you know, Beauty and the Beast just came out.
Yeah,
obviously. Grossing movies of all.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it was estimated to already be in the top 10 before it came out. So, you know, it was already like, this is a success. But so the first part of the question is,
okay,
is Beast a furry?
Is he a furry?
Yes.
I mean, he's kind of furry. Do you mean in the make? What is a furry a noun?
What
is a furry, Carolyn?
Yeah, what's a furry? Is that like how in
like a person that likes anthropomorphic animals and wants to become one? Like
you're gonna refresh me? Anthropomorphic.
It's like a human that is like an animal.
Okay, is that like an amphibian?
But, let me actually go to the internet. So like to get like a more so like proper in
Fantasia,
definition.
Like the goat man. Is that an anthropomorphic?
Like the Minotaur.
Is anthro, like anthropology, that's like what, like evolutionary from animal to human?
The first thing that's popping up here, if I can actually get it to pop up.
Is the Beast.
The Beast.
Is Furries, Furry Fandom, a Wikipedia page.
Oh, it's like a, okay.
Which is not actually coming up. But the first line I can read.
So it's a fetish.
The furry fandom is a subculture interested in fictional anthropomorphic animal characters.
Oh, okay.
But it's not
like. I was going to ask you, is it like how in the gay community, the big burly males are bears?
Oh, like a bear. Yeah.
I guess, but in the animal world.
Okay, so if this is an actual definition, says, and it's a noun, an enthusiast for animal characters with human characteristics. In particular, a person who dresses up in costume as such a character or uses one as an avatar online.
Hmm. Well, so I don't know. I mean, my thought on it is that it's kind of just like he's this human stuck inside this body. Because it's especially the portrayal in this Beauty and the Beast, the way they kind of human, they even more so, like in the cartoon that we grew up with, the Beast still has those human qualities where you feel empathy for him. But in this, he's much more human because they really focus on his eyes. That's the connection between him and Belle. And just like as it would be a connection with anybody of any kind of relationship, but you know, like they see the love in each other, even though he's this beast. And so he's just very humanized. So even though he's this furry beast, you feel love for him like a human. But then there's like me, I feel that when I see a dog that's like cute, it's so human to me because it's like a, you know, it's a loving, natured, living thing, you know.
Are you like really familiar with the furry culture? Cause I'm not super familiar.
I mean, I know Furbies. Would Furbies be considered a furry?
That's like the or toy. But like,
it's anybody, yeah. Like anybody,
you know,
who
when you go at like the Comic Cons and there's people that are like dressed up in like fur outfits.
Oh, okay.
So like this, I actually got to the Wikipedia page. It says,
like furry 60s go-go dancers with the furry boots and stuff.
The furry fandom is a subculture interested in fictional anthropomorphic animal characters with human personalities and characteristics. Examples of anthropomorphic attributes include exhibiting human intelligence and facial expressions.
Okay.
The ability to speak, walk on two legs, wear clothes.
Then I would consider, yes, the Beast is
a furry.
Yeah, it was a furry. Yeah, there you go.
So, like, that's why I was like, he actually is a furry. And so the follow-up question to
okay.
Is...
really excited about that follow-up question, Lauren.
Is Belle the original furry lover?
Oh.
So if I think that would be a yes if he is already a furry.
I mean,
and she's falling in love with the furry.
Well, so to make her the original.
I mean, I'm not well schooled on like the movies and stuff as I should be. But maybe she is the most original furry lover.
Oh, I mean, when is
I'm kind of a furry lover.
When is Beauty and the Beast like supposed to take place? Like what time of era world?
Oh, back in I would say almost like Renaissance time, but okay. Maybe like you know. Judging on costume, but not really Renaissance culture. But I feel like that's the part where it's fantasy, is it has this kind of, you know, and they've definitely played up the whole like peasantry.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
like French countryside.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, I mean.
All right.
I've 1700s, 1700s, maybe.
It was
is that what's happening in that time? The 1700s?
I mean, this one says 1740, but half of it's in French.
Okay, that is so the 17.
Or maybe it was written then. I'm not really quite sure.
Now, were there any stories of any other times where a woman liked
Beauty
an animal?
Beauty and the Beast. I do love Beauty and the Beast. I also like the remake of the Cinderella.
Yeah, you
into
swore
the
about,
human
you,
one.
You
it was originally yeah. published in 1756.
Oh, so it's based on a real story.
The story that this takes place in the mid 1700s.
Okay, that's where I would have pegged it. Yeah, 1700s is what it definitely seemed.
That's
like
definitely an era that I don't really have a lot of real life visualization of.
Randomly do. I took this like honors world history class, and we talked a lot about like those eras.
The 1700s?
Yeah, it was in high school. I can't even believe, but certain things just kind of stuck with me, you know.
Because like, what else happened in the 1700s? I guess all the interesting things happened like outside of America.
Yeah, the plague and and then I guess by the end of that, it was like America was being discovered / settled by white man.
And then by that time, everyone's just living in the forest in America, but like all the cool stuff is happening in Europe and all that.
Yeah,
and in China.
I guess the end of the 1700s, we were making a constitution. So before that, it was getting settled, you know, and I guess 1492, right, Columbus.
Sailed the ocean blue. landed in Mexico.
If you think about
came and stole.
He didn't land in Mexico. He landed somewhere else, didn't he?
He landed in the, I want to say like.
Jamaica or something?
Yeah, the Caribbean islands. Or
Bermuda.
Or something.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Ooh, I know, I want to go so bad to Jamaica.
Well, I guess if you think about it from like a literary aspect, she might be the first furry lover. I mean, I love animals too. Like, but for me, like, I still don't know how the furry. And sorry if I'm insulting to the furry community that's listening, but like, I just don't know if like it's a sexual thing or if it's just something that like.
It's always a sexual.
They're
thing.
Into like for example, like, and I've said this on the podcast before. It's no big, you know, secret. Mm-hmm. I am attracted to Robin Hood the fox.
Oh, okay.
But there's no real life Robin Hood fox.
But I know, first of all, I know he's an animal. I know he's a cartoon. But then, like, mentally,
like,
I'm like,
he's sexy.
But, like,
though.
Mentally, I'm like, oh,
no, he's sexy. Who dis?
Like, he's handsome.
Like, that is why they call people foxes when they're sexy.
Who dis fox?
Because
who
of this guy.
But it's only like animal. Him. It's not like. I have all these massive animals that I'm in love with.
Right. Okay. Like, I don't know. If
I just
I've
think
ever
he's very charming.
Had affection
and I like
for
him.
Like a for an animal.
But I don't. But
like even a fantasy animal. I get
but
what you're
like,
saying.
When
I totally
but
get what you're saying.
When it comes down to it, like I wouldn't want to try to like be
like
with
maybe
him
the Beast. Like I always liked the Beast. Like I, but I'm still that way. Like I don't necessarily care. Like I don't want my future. Man or whatever, husband or whatever, to
listen to
not them. Take care of themselves, be like some like nasty, gross person. But like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, what matters to me is that someone understands me and enjoys having a conversation with me. Like, I mean, of course, hot guys will forever make me shy. Like, I can't talk to guys. But it's really like when I feel those vibes with somebody, I can't. Reach out to them. Like, if I reach out to you and talk to you, I probably don't like crush on you, but I feel like they say, you know, they you guys know better than me, but it's like when you are really like in love, like in true love, it's like maybe it's nerve-wracking, but it's not it's also very calming and stuff. Like, so that's why I kind of like let it all pass me by, because it's like, well, if I'm too nervous to talk that guy and that guy doesn't want to talk to me, it's never going to work. It's never going to be worth. So, like, why waste my time stressing about it?
You know, it's funny because guys
have the opposite. But still, they walk in the room, and I'm like, oh, my God. Where do I go? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So guys just, like what they like, and they attack.
Isn't that almost, like, the opposite?
I want you.
The guys, even if, like, even if the girl doesn't.
I mean, I think a lot of, like, at least, like, a lot of philosophy. Like, I'm a very, I like philosophy and, like, stuff like that, but a lot of philosophies say that, like, the energy is supposed to flow from the man to the woman in terms of, like, getting the girl. Because if that happens, then throughout a long-term relationship, that energy continues to flow that way. Whereas if the energy is always, like, the woman suggesting, like, to do something or whatever, it kind of fights nature. Where it's like, of course you have a give and pull, and, like, you know, every feminist might be tweeting me from now till next Tuesday. But it's not, I don't mean it like that. It's just like a nature flow thing, because, like, the way yin and yang work, the way testosterone and estrogen work, the way just, like, nature flows, it's supposed to be that way, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I have to ask my future husband now, who we'll see. We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Yeah. But I would really rather not, because it really scares me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Back to the furry thing, though. Yeah. I'm just trying to answer the question.
Where's my furry yet?
Because in terms of, like, I can't think of any other character that's, like, in love either, with though. An animal, like, in that way. But then, you know, you could argue, well, the beast is under a spell.
He is under a spell, yeah. So there was that hope.
But then when she met him, I don't think she knows about the spell.
But they presented him like he's just ugly.
And that's part of it. That's
I thought they said.
She, no, she falls in love with him as Beast.
No, but they found she finds out about the rose.
It kind of how the story goes. It kind of changes in this one. They definitely adapted it to more modern.
Should we just get your review on Beauty and Beast?
I mean, I'll give you a little without, like, spoiling it too much.
I feel like I already know the ending.
I mean, I like the played up Gaston is a little more relatable to our, you know, especially I've been waiting tables and bartending my way through art. So it's like everyone who's in my position, whether you're a big drinker or not, like you can relate to the dude who thinks he's so hot and drinks and is like, you know, you want me. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard that way too many times. Like, even when I'm sober at a show, shooting a show or something, like, the drunk guy's like, come on, you know you want me. Like, you know you. I'm like, actually, no, and you are just, like, ridiculous. Any chance you had just went out the window, you know? Yeah. Like, because it's just, like, it's the way they do it. It's just, like, that, I mean, there's no other way for me to explain it than it's just a douche. It's like a, you know, that's what I call that kind of guy. But
that Gaston character, because I still haven't seen the live action.
They kind of played it up like that, you know. So it's like you're just like, ugh. Like, it's so, you know, if you've ever felt that from a dude, you're just like, ugh, Gaston, shut up. You know, like, it's watching this movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, even though the beast is fighting his own cold heart, you know, and he hates where he's at, and he hates that he's, you know, feels like he's unlovable, and like his whole town has left him, and his world is dark and imploding or something. But here's this girl has just arrived on the scene who needs him and who chose to be there to, you know, even though it was like that
why did she show up at the castle?
Well, the way I couldn't remember how the cartoon one went, which I think they elaborate or like they expand on the whole relationship between the daughter and father, which they also did that in the remake of Cinderella too, because mm-hmm. it was like you find out how the mom dies and you understand a little more the father-daughter relationship. And it was like her dad had gotten lost off the path while he was on his journey, and he ends up at the castle. And he was trying to pick Belle a flower, because that's what she asked. He said, what do you want from my journey? And she asked for a flower, and he was picking it for her, because it's like this in this whole crazy dark space, there's like this whole thing of white roses. And so he's picking her the white rose. But then the beast like flips out, don't steal my flower, and like jumps, you know, and yeah. and captures him and puts him in his little like jail cell in the tower thing. And when Belle goes to seek out her dad, she basically says like, I will go in place of you, like, and pushes her dad out of the jail and goes in there and says like, you can hold me captive. But then during this time, the whole story unfolds and you end up with all the talking, you know, dishes and all that stuff, like, are just from the original. And
Mrs. Potts and Chip.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, you know, it's funny, the little more modern things they throw in there. And Belle is a little more modern, strong woman kind of thing happening. Like, I love when she just, like, you know, the way she talks back to Gaston, it reminded me of how, like, you know, when that douche is hitting on you, where even on the subway, completely sober, and I'm like, are you sober right now? Because you remind me of the drunk douchebags. Like, you know, like,
you should just, like, if
they're
somebody
just
does
so
that,
sure that you want to go home with them right now.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah, you're like, actually, I'm busy right now, but let me drop everything and yeah, just like drop everything. Hang out with you. Like, pull down your pants. Let's get
yeah,
it going.
Yeah, let's do like, this.
That's what I always think is funny. Like, if a construction site, especially, it's like, you're, yeah. you're obviously walking by and you have something to do, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and people are like, hey, babe, woo!
Yeah, hey,
and
then, baby.
You know, like all that. And it's like, what are you, like, do you really think I'm going to turn around and like, you know, get some action
it's
with you
weird.
Right now? Like,
it is
what
weird.
Are you expecting out of that?
It's know? Weird because the older you get, the more certain guys want to try to like woo you with fancy dinners and stuff like that. And I'm like, that doesn't have any, it's like no... I'm like, I would rather, can we go for a walk in the park, literally, and can you say something of value to my life?
Yeah.
Like, can I feel a connection? Like, don't get me drunk and try to convince me how awesome you are with, like, wine and tapas and, like, yeah. you know, like,
next
fancy
time someone hollers
escargot
at you,
and shit,
like, just be like, get away from me, Gaston, and yeah, then, like, keep walking.
Get away from me, Gaston.
I bet he's going to be like, okay.
Like, I could see myself being like, okay, so Gaston.
Every guy is...
I'm certain, like...
Every guy is just Gaston now. Like, that's...
Pretty
just,
much.
No, not the benefit of the
but
doubt.
Every guy like that. Every guy like that.
Like, you know, Gaston. They have... There's it's the side type. Things that they do, because it's art, you know? So they're like, you know, they have Gaston, like, checking himself out in the mirror. Like, I've seen it. It's funny, because, like... The amount of observing you can do when you are at the back of a venue just like over and over and over and over again. And like whether it's a hip hop show or a rock show or like a theater production or whatever, like you're dealing with a crowd of people. And it's like it's so funny when you have that dude who's like thinks he just looks like shit and he's like checking yeah. himself out. You know, girls do it too, but it's always funny when it's the dude, you know, checking himself out in the reflection. And it's not just like checking their hair, checking if they have something in their teeth. It's like the dudes who are like they like know they're hot shit or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
even like explain it. And that's what kind of how they played up Gaston. It's pretty funny.
Did he have a sidekick? Did he have that sidekick?
Yeah, the one who just like sweats his nuts. It's so typical. Like, yeah, that guy. It's funny. I thought at first that that guy was Jack Black, and I was like, no way, they didn't cast Jack Black in this film.
It
would have
been awesome.
But it was like, you know, he's like this short and stout guy, and you know, Gaston, you know, is the talk of the town. He's the hot guy in the town who I guess all the girls want to be with him. But Belle is like, no way, you know, like that, like it makes so much sense. I mean, I don't know who wrote it or whatever. I read all the credits and stuff, but I can't remember, but who wrote the original, but that it's just so typical. That's how that is. Like the big dude who thinks he's the shit. Like, of course there's girls who like want him for all the wrong reasons, you know? And then it's like, he wants the girl who's like, hell no, like, you know, like
that's always how it works out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny because like I, you know, and also during that time period, it's like, how often do you think they bathed? Like, and also yeah. the, you know, it's like the French,
the reality of
you know
this.
Like the, yeah, the like reality. Like they love to like romanticize all of it, but whenever I go back in the past, like these period films, I'm always like, these period films. Like, I'm always like, let's bring it back
yeah,
again.
Take it back.
Take it back. But like, you know, I'm always like, how often do you think Belle like really bathes?
I thought
like,
about that.
And
in
she's
Cinderella,
probably like
you
hairy
know?
And has a hairy armpit. You know how those French girls are.
I thought that's just.
I always thought
shaving...
about that in Cinderella, even back in the day, just because the ugly stepsisters were kind of like portrayed as gross, and I would just always remember like I did this project in middle school how like where I dressed I like created these paper dolls and stuff of the way they dress with the pantalones and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember researching how like the pantalones, a lot of times there was just a hole cut in the crotch of the pants because you're wearing this big what's that called, the dresses that go
corset things? Or
the like belt
like Belle's dress, how it bunches out.
What is that called? Hoop skirt or whatever. Okay. Because you can't just like, you know, the way we go and sit down on the toilet, like you can't just do that. It's like you have to just kind of go and like stand up and pee, and you can't like pull your underwear down. So there, but like, I just remember thinking like, that's so gross. Like, I've been camping. There's a splatter effect when you like do things like that. You know, it's like, I can't imagine you have all this like random splattered, like, gross underneath your, you know. I don't know, but yeah,
and they always say
so,
so
gross. And then you don't take a bath for 3 weeks, you know, or something. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like they probably all smelled like, even like, you know, like you think about like they romanticize all these times, and it's like they probably just all,
yeah, like I wonder nasty. About like Shakespeare and Shakespeare time, you know,
but that's all they knew, so they like they probably didn't know any better, you know?
Yeah,
like, they probably try to mask it with like some type of powder or,
I mean,
like,
hippies
fragrance.
Traveling hippies, man, they get it on even when they smell funky. So I guess it's like if two people both smell funky together, like
we'll just cancel each other out. And just cancel them.
As much as there is like hippie all running through my veins, I like to shower, you know, frequently.
Frequently.
Soap up and a soapy lather.
Since each time you enter a new house, you want to take a shower.
On all your travels, like, have you come across gypsies?
I not even in my travels, but like gypsies come across me sometimes.
Oh,
like you,
okay.
You got to protect yourself. Like, cause there are real gypsies out there.
Wait, yeah. So what are real gypsies?
Just like people who kind of travel from place to place, and they have absolutely no guilt about stealing something for them to make money to move to their next traveling place or to eat.
So they're like
whatever.
Swindlers.
Yeah like they will like they'll talk you out of money, they'll steal your stuff, and they just don't even feel guilty about it. They just do it and keep moving on and stuff. But I really can see those kind from a mile away at this point. Like,
yeah.
I put up major you know, block them out. They see it in me too. They know that I know. Like,
yeah.
I can see it in them. It's gypsies are, they're real. They don't just wear hoop earrings and fancy dresses and like, you know, some like, yeah, they're,
it was interesting because
it's
recently,
a negative energy.
Yeah. Recently, I did a thing with the children's hospital. So like, we came in and we had I organized a whole bunch of cartoonists to come in and draw for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. Cause like, I guess the kids, you know, like they're there for a while and
they
have to keep themselves entertained.
Sure.
So this one chick, I think she was like turning 12. So she was telling me all about how her favorite TV show is like, it's some like TLC show, reality show called like My Big American Gypsy Wedding or something.
Oh, weird.
And it's, I didn't even know it was
know.
A thing, but
yeah,
she, but apparently it's like they get married really young and they have elaborate weddings that are like really like kind of gaudy, like a lot of like crazy
weird.
Decorations, and they just like party it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more light term of a gypsy is maybe like someone who travels and stuff, but I don't, weird elaborate weddings. I don't know. I don't know. That's weird. I haven't seen it, but they're really young. Like they're like 16 and getting married.
I don't know
or?
About 16, but
like 18,
you know,
20 or
something. They're in like, I guess their early 20s maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the show enough to like really talk about it, but
yeah.
I she was like explaining it to me because it was on TV like in our room.
Sure,
and so,
sure,
like,
sure.
I was like, she knew all the characters and stuff, and I mean it's reality TV, so obviously,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be played up a little bit. But I was like, oh, I guess like they just travel town to town, but they're really into like this crazy fashion, like all these weird fabrics. I mean, it looked cool.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
but
yeah.
But it was definitely like not a mainstream.
Yeah, travelers.
White
I've definitely like. Because you even have to be weary. There are some travelers who are like all about the good energy and can live with nothing, and they use their traveling to become a more patient person and to see the world and to learn from people. And then you have some people who travel and they are just, they become desperate at times, I guess, mm-hmm. And whatever, and they do things just with no conscience, and that's weird. But you come across that, you know, I see that in bus stations and even just travel. I mean, there's a lot of, like, out in California, there's a lot of, like, hitchers and stuff like that, hitchhikers yeah. and stuff. But there's a lot of, like, positive hitchhikers, too, who are just literally, you know, they're living out there and they just want to get to the next town over or something, and it's, like, part of the culture, but... I don't know.
Have you come across the scam? I've seen this a few times where, like, somebody will have, like, a little card and they'll, like, they won't actually talk, but then they give you a card that you're supposed to read.
Oh,
and
all the time.
Asks for money. And on, I'm like, I'm
on just, the subway.
I'm always just
stuff.
Like, before they even hand
they
it over.
They say they're deaf and they can't do anything.
Before they even hand it over, I'm like, no, yeah, no thank me you. Too. I just yeah. keep walking.
See, I don't like that. Yeah. The latest one that happened to me was, like, in a department store when I'm, like, looking at pants.
Uh-huh.
And I turn around and, like, a person, like, hands me the card. I'm like, hey, what's up? And I read the card and I'm like, oh, nah, man.
Yeah. I always just tell them, like, I mean, because it's like, the truth. But I'm just like, nah, I'm broke too, man. Like, I ain't got nothing, man.
Are you going
to
pay me back?
I just don't understand, like, what you're supposed to owe somebody that just hands you a card. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I mean, I've heard some people go off on people on the subway. They're like, man, you could claim disability easier than me. Come on, shut up. Like, like, I'll tell you where the housing department's at or whatever. Like,
but also, like, how ballsy is it to, like, do that trick on somebody? Like, I feel like you have to, like...
I mean, those are, that's like your gypsy me, that's, types. Like,
I would never do that.
Is
I
that
mean,
a con,
in New York, it's every yeah. day you
do
have.
Do you think
know,
it's a con?
Just like, you
big
know,
time.
You, yeah, huge con. Like, they, there's just people, I mean, there's people who sit with their children and beg for money, and they're estimated to make $100,000 a year.
What?
Just sitting
oh,
there
sure.
begging for it, but like,
I don't
they
have
also,
the heart to even try that.
They also have usually have some sort of drug problem or something. Like, yeah, they are using that money to provide for their children, and because they have no other job, they're yeah. doing that every day. But, like, they also... That's just, like, a weird space to exist in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm, like, I work hard for my money. Like, yeah. every tip dollar, every shift I can make, you know, I've worked at places where you... make $25 in a shift, and like you have to survive on that because your next shift isn't for another week or something, or like mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, well, I guess I'm eating crackers right
yeah.
now.
I love
salty
God
lifestyle.
Bless rice, or like, you know,
God bless rice.
Yeah. Rice and beans.
Yeah, rice and beans, man. Yeah. I'll tell you,
ramen oof, forever.
I can make rice and beans like about 800 different ways now. It makes so much more sense why that's like a staple.
I mean, it's healthy
combination.
For you too.
Yeah, it's super. I mean, and so. Beans are fiber, so it's like in protein, so you could totally survive on it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. All these scams kind of actually, like, piss me off. Like, I know that they're in
yeah.
down and out times and it's hard and stuff. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, dude, seriously. Like, why do you have to play these games?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, we're artists trying to make living off of our art. People
yeah, like, I have
there.
Super respect. I think, you know, one of the street artists, like, you see street artists that are so rad and they, you know, they're just banging it out. And I have... go for it, make your money with a bucket. I'm so glad that people are putting money in your bucket and you're rocking it
yeah.
on the street.
And
like that's
but they're also
that's not
giving
a scam. They're giving
too.
Yeah they're
yeah,
giving
I'm
you
all
something.
About the musicians. I'm cool with
yeah
all
me too
guys.
Or even like
too.
The art yeah anyone who's
yeah.
giving us a gift really.
But then you have the people who like walk through the subway and they're clearly on heroin and they're like have their dog with them
and they have better phones than we do.
Yeah yeah like out in California someone came up to me. I was at this festival. I was just like outside of the festival, but it was like this guy came up. He has a goat, and he was like, "You got any money so I could feed my goat?" I was like, "That's a good one, buddy. That's a good one."
He's trying to get those furry sympathizers.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Is this the end?
This is the end.
Oh wow!
Well, we're coming on the end. We
it's
least
all
have,
over
we least,
already.
We at least have 2 minutes
aww.
Until it ends. We'll just cry for
we'll
the next
cry.
2 minutes. We'll just cry. I wish it wouldn't end. Why has it got to end so fast?
So, Bullet Stringer, do you have anything else you need to tell the world?
I don't know. I don't know. Hit me up, folks. This is the summer. This is the last summer I'm waiting tables. You understand, world? It's going to get real after this. I got an agent.
Did you put out? Did you put out like a thing to the universe, being like, after this summer?
Oh yeah. Oh, every day. It's my mantra of the summer. This is it. This is the end of it. I need to pay my booking fee to my agency, and then it's gonna be flying after that, I guess.
But shouldn't the booking fee already be taken from your?
Yeah. Well, jobs? I did a weird way, like holding. I was holding out so that like I. It's to kind of maintain my independence, so I don't like end up on a Walmart commercial, because like I don't believe in that, you know. But it's like there are certain like things I will do, but I don't want to be just like forced into doing something so that they can make money off of me. Mm-hmm. So we came to a compromise, and that's where it's at.
I mean, they should be getting you work anyway, so they're making money off of you.
You're making everyone money. Until then, I'm just going to make films with my homie over here, Joe, and this summer, and do other random photography things. I'm in D.C. for the summer. I'll probably be in New York a lot randomly, so if anyone wants to shoot or whatever, holla. Call me. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
And she's like, not always going to speak with that accent. Me. She doesn't always talk
sometimes
with that accent.
Sometimes. It just comes out randomly. It depends where my brain like goes into this other section.
Got to make it that ching ching.
Hustle mode. It's hustle mode.
Got my agent. Speak to my agent.
I lived in Queens for way too long under really strange circumstances. That's what I call it. The hustle accent. It is the hustle accent.
Got a little linger on them words.
That was my real New York
girl, where are you from?
Got to make sure it all sounds.
Where can people find you?
Not Manhattan. Is definitely Queens all day.
What's social media? Where can people find you?
At Bullet Stringer, at Snarky Studios. I am both things. You know, not everyone knows that. I still get the...
You got that accent.
The people who want to fight me. It's because people want to fight me. They're like... I'm like... They find out, oh, you are Snarky Studios... Like, no, you work for Snarky Studios. I'm like, no, I am Snarky Studios.
I'm the president.
They're like, no, no, you work for Snarky Studios. Like, no, actually, I am.
I'm the CEO.
To the point where I let it go and I go, all right, you're right. I work for Snarky Studios.
Come to my offices. We'll find out who.
Snarky Studios works for me. All right, awesome. I am Snarky Studios. What is it? How do you want to do it?
Well, thanks for being on the show, Mark.
Thank you.
It's
yeah,
always
thank
awesome
you guys.
Having
yeah,
you on.
I love you guys so much.
So this show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check out my work. Or check out their work at straightproductions.com. Check out... I am a straight production.
Yeah, he is a straight production.
Also, check out my work, Joe Carabeo. JoeCarabeo.com. GoStraight.com. GoStraight.tumblr.com. All that stuff. MondayMistress.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
My website is CarolynBilewski.com. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, at Carolyn Bilewski. And I have a comic strip called Curls. You can check it out at curls-studio.com/curls.
And of course, you can check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynJoeShow.com. Everything's a .com. I don't know. Everything is a .com. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show.
You. For sure. Thank you for having me. As always, I love you guys.
Thank you for saying almond milk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Check out more almond milk coming up. But once again, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other, everyone. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
That's right.
Peace out, guys.